Welcome to the Grace Fellowship Church of Ephrata podcast. Our desire is to help you grow in your journey with Jesus, no matter where you are. For more information, please check out our website at www.gfchurch.net.
Hi, if you are a guest here today, my name is Dan. Sorry, I'm adjusting my microphone, and I'm a little raspy today. I'm still getting over this cold thing, so just bear with me. It makes my voice sound a little more masculine, which makes me feel good. So I feel like a man. But we do this every year since I've been here. I try to spend the last Sunday of the year in something I call Vision Sunday. Every year I try to get us focused for the year ahead on something that we really need to focus on or work on, or a strength or something within our church that when we come together next Sunday, we know this is what we're going to be focusing on as a church all year. To start off, I want to talk about what our mission is as a church. If you're a guest here, again, this is sort of what we're all about. And we made this very clear last year by voting this to be the mission statement, to be a church of the community, on the move in the community, until we reach all the community for Christ. We don't want to be a church that is necessarily a transit church. My mom and my aunts grew up in a church outside Philadelphia, and as the church got older and older and older, it began to become a transit church. People would literally drive for 20, 30 minutes to get to this church, and nobody was even coming locally. And eventually that church had to close its doors. It died out. And it didn't try to reach its neighborhood around us. For me, it's important for us that we are a church of the community right here, all around us, on the move in the community, that we're not hiding behind the four walls of this church, that people know who we are, what we're about, what we do, until we reach all the community for Christ. The gospel is the main reason why. It's not about Grace Fellowship. It's not like we're trying to be like the greatest church in the world or anything. We just want to be faithful with what God has given us. So this is our mission. Now, last year we had our Vision Sunday. Actually 2 years ago we had one. In 2024, our vision back then was love where we live. We wanted to focus on really getting out, finding ways to get out, finding ways to serve. You all have been wonderful with like EASS and the collections we've taken for them, and now the living room, we're taking collection for them. I have the final numbers, and I'll give it at the annual business meeting, but I had Lisa tabulate, and I mean, we're well over like collecting over, I think it was like 275 items for EASS this year that go to help people in our community in need, and then we'll get a total from the living room. It's been awesome to watch all of you respond to this. So Love Where We Live is 2024. This past year, many of you remember that we've been talking about practicing complete fellowship. I had hoped at the end of the year that I would be able to say, all of us would be able to say, you know what? I love my church family. I love my church. And not the building, but the people. You love all of those around you. And so we wanted to focus on that in many different ways throughout the year. And so we did a couple different ideas with this as we look back at 2025. At first, we started the year with a few fellowship meals, including a chili cook-off that I'm still incredibly bitter about because of second place to Kenny, who, Kenny's green chili is the greatest thing in the world. Sorry, Kenny, I love you. I love you. Kenny won and Jess placed in third, but we had the chili cook-off, and it was, it's chili. It was Super Bowl Sunday and all that, but there was more to it. We wanted to fellowship. We wanted to have fun, sit across from a table, have some fun together. Sometimes we just got to take the time to do that as a church, and so we had a few of these opportunities, including church picnic and stuff like that as well. We also saw fellowship and complete fellowship beginning to happen with OWLS. OWLS had a bunch of events this year. They had a lot of fun, and I was envious and jealous, and I wanted to be a part, but I'm too young. So they had a great time, and they already have stuff lined up for January, and they're ready to go. It's been cool to watch our 55-plus get together, and I know it's not just go do something. They will tell you they always do a meal at lunchtime somewhere at some great diners, and they sit around, and they just fellowship, and they've been growing as a unit. They've been learning fellowship. Echo started, had a few events, and have more to come. Tyler is working on that. for this upcoming winter and spring, our 20 to 40s, just trying to create this ministry where they have time to hang out together, where they have time to grow together and just enjoy presence. Again, practicing complete fellowship. We've had things such as the women's retreat. We also, during the summer, had the backyard churches going on, which is always great. We always had about 45 to 50 at least at each of these. And those of you that have been there, you know, you're there for the main reason, the food. That's a joke. But the food did help. We got to hear from different ministries and so on in town, like Child Evangelism Fellowship and some of the stuff that they've been doing. And then we have like all this great food with, you know, we have like 3 side dishes and 25 desserts, the way things should be. But we had a great time at just some different houses here in the area. Well attended. Again, fellowship, getting together, doing life, getting to know people maybe we hadn't had really time to catch up with. And what I am most excited about is the growth of grace groups within our church. I haven't put a lot of fanfare on this, but we have been having certain people step up and say, I want to get a group of people together where we're going to not look at the back of somebody's head like you are right now. That's easy. But where we're going to get in a circle and we're going to do life, we're going to encourage one another, we're going to get into each other's business and be vulnerable and grow in Christ as well as grow as a group. And so many of you did that. And I know that I forgot what my last count was. I think I had we have about 8 to 10 going right now. And you may not even know all of them. There's some that are happening in secret. It's really cool. But they just chose to start a group, and there's nothing stopping you from doing the same thing. Getting a group of believers together, spending some time in God's Word, spending some time in fellowship, encouraging, praying for one another. Grace groups is something I want all of us to get involved in, whether it's a Bible study, whether it's something like an Echo or an OWLS or whatever it is. We all need to get into these smaller groups because we all, like it or not, need each other. We all need each other. So it's been a great year for practicing complete fellowship. I know we can do better, and I know we're doing awesome already. We've seen this because people began to become more engaged in the church. And what I mean by engaged is that they became more involved and invested. They weren't just kind of showing up and filling a pew and leaving and that's it. They began to involve themselves and invest themselves, whether that was by serving, giving, getting involved in a ministry, whatever it was, they began to do this. And see, these are things that we celebrate. Youth group continues to blossom. There are over 20 normally on a Wednesday night that are there. That has continued to tick up every year. We're excited about that. Grace for Moms, I know they're doing awesome. How many moms, real quick? I lost count and I forgot to do my research ahead of time. Where's Judy? Or how many is it roughly? About 20 moms that are showing up. And guess what? They don't all come here. They don't even, some of them go to church. How dare they be here? Exactly. It's a ministry and it's awesome. It's awesome. We're seeing that thrive. Sunday mornings, just so you know, numbers don't tell the full tale. I'll talk about that in a second. But numbers give us a measurement as to what happened. Our normal Sunday morning attendance for 2023, we had 82 adults that were showing up here on average, 15 children in our Grace Kids and all that was going on there. Last year, we saw a little bit of growth, 95, and then 20 kids. Now, this year, we've been up to 109. Anybody noticing anything there? There's been an increase. And that's encouraging because people are seeing something about Grace Fellowship Church that they're like, we want to be a part of this church. And granted, numbers aren't everything. Okay, we could have 1,000 people here and be completely unhealthy. Completely. What I am seeing, though, I think is sustainable and encouraging growth as we're getting to know each other. That's encouraging people to become more involved because they're not just seen as a person that shows up and walks out. They're getting involved, and we're seeing God move. And we've been praying about what that looks like moving into the future. We're seeing new faces here weekly. Some of you may remember this. This was my first year here. I took a picture when I was preaching because that's weird and totally normal behavior. But I said this. When I took this picture here, I said, if we're doing what we all say we're all about, making disciples, if we're all about reaching people for Jesus, well, then this picture should look different. And it does. Because we're seeing people being invited to church. We're seeing people make a decision for Jesus to give their life to him. And that encourages me, and it should encourage you. Because this is a moment that God is doing something within our congregation, and we need to be responsible with that, not take it for granted. None of us. None of us. So God is doing something at Grace Fellowship, and I'm thoroughly excited about that. This past year, we saw 8 baptisms. We saw 6 new members. We saw 2 people give their life to Christ that we know of. There are sometimes people that will do it and won't tell us for months that they have given their life to Christ. We saw 2 child dedications, and hey, we're meeting budget. Woohoo! Okay, we're meeting budget. That's always a good thing. I say all that for this. Is this encouraging to you? 3 people it is. Wonderful. Let me keep pitching for the other 97 that are here. This is okay to be encouraged by. This is. Leadership, it's funny when we have our leadership meetings, we're like, yeah, there was this person that showed up on Sunday, and everybody's like, who? I was like, I don't know who they are. I don't even know how they found out about us. I mean, we're back here on Point View Avenue. You got to drive by 20 churches to get here. Why did they come here? And that, for me, is one of those times where it's like God is doing something. This is not us. I mean, maybe it's you invited people, and if so, thank you. We want this to be a place that people feel encouraged to invite people to experience Jesus. But God is bringing people here on his own, whether you want to invite them or not. And I'm okay with that. I'm also okay with you inviting them. But I'm just saying, God is doing something, and so we're encouraged by this. We celebrate this because people this past year chose to step beyond just showing up, and they began to create circles to get around people, to talk. That's not easy for all of us. Some of us don't like to be vulnerable. We have a hard time talking with people. But people chose to do it this past year. I see a church that is really loving where they live and is looking for ways to reach their town. And as I said, numbers are easy to count. We can inflate numbers and say, well, you know, I've seen this, especially when I was in the Southern Baptist Church. Well, you know, we have X amount of people that are our members. How many of those members attend? Well, that's not important. Sometimes numbers, as I said, can be deceptive. They don't always mean healthy. What I do want to measure is engagement. Are people taking steps of faith, beginning to read the Bible for the first time? That's an engagement number to me. Being baptized, if you haven't, by the way, would love to talk to you. Talk to me soon, okay? Those steps of engagement, that's what the church is about. It's not about just filling a building, okay? As I've said 100 times, I can give out $5 bills. It's going to wreck our budget, but I can do $5 bills for everybody that shows up to church, and we'll have a full church. Maybe. I mean, that doesn't even have to buy you Wawa coffee anymore. So anyhow, this is what God has done this past year, and it encourages me as a pastor to see this happen. And this should continue, but we do have an area to focus on this upcoming year. And honestly, it's an area that we have had multiple conversations come up within, I know with us as elders, but also as our leadership team, something that keeps showing up on the radar that's not a strength, in an area that I think we really have to excel in. I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 4, a passage that I've read before, but I have to emphasize this passage this year. I don't know what your upbringing was for church and how the church worked there. I'll talk about that in a second. But this is from Paul to the church in Ephesus. And this, for him, is how the church is supposed to function. This is the organizational chart of the church, if you live in corporate world and you understand the organizational chart. And Paul starts this way, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers. Why? To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Now, before we go on, God assigned leadership. Some people don't like leadership. You'd rather church be an anarchy or something of that nature. God assigned leadership for the sole purpose of order and accountability, and also here, equipping, teaching, training, giving opportunities for service. He gave leaders in the church this responsibility to build up the people that are showing up every week. And then he goes on to verse 13 and he says, until we all, here's the point of this, and we're going to do this until we all attain the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So what? Why? Well, to bring unity, to bring knowledge of the Son of God, to bring mature manhood. This is the reasons why he set up this organizational chart. Verse 14, so, and here's the purpose for it, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. It's to make us strong so we aren't just going to believe the, hey, I'm a pastor, listen to me. Well, they may not be spouting anything that is from the Bible. And he says, this is how we prevent this, is the leaders are there to train you so we're strong, and you know a lie when you hear a lie. And you know what's true when you hear truth. He goes on to verse 15. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Continuing verse 16. From whom the whole body, Christ is the head of the church, whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint that which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Christ is the head of the church. When the body is working the way that God designed it, then it builds itself up. It maintains itself. It sustains itself. See, my point out of this is that God designed a system for Christ's body to maintain and strengthen itself. We need him. Do we need the Holy Spirit in our church? Yes, we do. We need him. Christ is the head. He gives leaders to equip us so that we are getting strong and to help us minister to one another. And he gives that so that we are strengthening and maintaining and keeping each other healthy and encouraging one another. That's why he did it. He wanted fellowship and he wanted ministry, not just out of those that are the higher ups, ministry out of all of us. Every single one of us. God did not design the church to be led by Dan. You don't want to be under Danarchy. Okay? It's not just led by me. There's elders. There are others there. If you build all the work of ministry just on Dan or just on the elders, we're limiting ourselves in our impact. Right? If we don't have more people all in serving, all in ministering, all in meeting needs, we're limiting ourselves. Now, I don't know what kind of church model you were raised in. I know we have people from a Lutheran background and Catholic background that come here. We have people that are not churched at all, and I just throw these up. These are just more for you to see than to read. But there are all sorts of church governments out there, from Presbyterian churches, Episcopal Church, Lutheran, as I mentioned, Catholic, and so on. And then there's some churches, like when I was in New England, congregational churches and such. They all are about order and who is really in charge. In America, we love our democracy, and democracy sometimes has been seen as the way that the church has to lead, and so the people direct the leadership. Well, we're not necessarily that here. We're elder-led that are appointed by the church, elder-led church here. I'm not the only one. There's several of us. And so we lead this way. We seek the Lord for the direction of the church. What decisions should we make? What direction should we go? And so on. You may have been raised in a church where maybe it was different. Maybe there was like committees, okay? Death by committee. By the way, looking back through the history of our church, oh my word, there were so many committees here, it wasn't even funny. I mean, my head hurt. I was reading so many committees. And maybe that was more the upbringing that you came from, was a church with all kinds of committees or whatever it was. Sometimes you can entrust whoever's the higher up to do all the ministering. They need to be the ones that visit everybody. They need to be the ones that make all the phone calls. They need to be the one that take meals to everybody. All the higher-ups. That's not what we see in Ephesians chapter 4. He said that the leaders, their role is to equip all of you, train you, give you opportunities so you help with the ministry of the church. And at the end, he says, if the body's working right and all the parts are doing what the parts are supposed to be doing, then the church builds itself up in love, in unity, and fellowship. All these things that are mentioned in Ephesians 4. He says, this is what a healthy church body looks like. We're building ourselves up. We're sustaining ourselves. And it's not just on a few, it's on many. God gave us all different spiritual gifts because this way we need each other. Okay, I have preaching as one of my spiritual gifts. Not all people have the gift of preaching. You may have the gift of mercy. You know who's not real strong in the gift of mercy? My wife and I. So she had her hand up, so I'm not embarrassing her. Some of you are, I've said this before, if you're in the hospital, they're the ones you want to come visit you because it's like this angel that floats into the room and you hear choirs and it's like, oh my, you know, hopefully it doesn't mean that you're, you know, about to go to the beyond, but you get the idea that they just are refreshing to you. And they have that gift that you're like, oh my word, the Lord used them in my life this week. There are people with those gifts. You know why? I need those people. They need people who can preach. They need people with the gift of administration. God didn't give all of, or you know, me, every gift. He didn't. And that's a good thing because then I have to put on a cape and call myself super pastor. And I am not super pastor. The elders don't have to don the cape that says they have all the gifts and they do everything. No, I need you because you have gifts I don't have. And that is why God, I am convinced, didn't give us all, one person, all the gifts. Because we need to see how much we need each other. All the people around you, you need them. And so, Ephesians 4, again, is that rock solid thing for me that the body needs to be growing. It needs to be meeting needs of each other. We all have these different gifts, and 1 Corinthians 12 is a great passage to read. I don't have the time to read it right now, but 1 Corinthians 12, especially verses 12 through 26, where he says, there are no useless parts in the body of Christ. You may sit there and say, I can't really do a lot at my church because I'm limited in my gifting. No, according to 1 Corinthians 12, you're just as important as the person who stands up front and talks for 35 minutes a week. You are just as important for your role in this body and ministry. And so, I want to encourage us to think this way. The body has to be growing and meeting the needs, and that helps us be unified. If we're not unified, if we're not strong, if we're being deceived, then the body is unhealthy. Something's not working right. Somebody hasn't stepped up with their gifts. I had a friend who did a mission trip in Tanzania, and it was a more rural part of Tanzania, villages and so on, and what blew them away was there would be a mom with a young baby, and she would need to go do something. She would lay the baby down, and she would go off to do whatever the business was. Well, the baby would begin to cry, and the people in the village did something very unusual to us Americans. Instead of sitting there and go, well, where's the mother of this baby? I can't believe they're letting this baby cry. How dare they? What kind of mother is that? You know, all that nastiness. They went over and they took care of the baby until the mother came back. Novel concept. The mom had something to do, and the community stepped up and took care of the baby, and they would expect it of their child, too, that the community works as a whole. The church has to get back to this. That we are taking care of one another. When we do child dedications here, I give a challenge to you as the church. When we do a baptism here, I give a challenge to you as the church. And I'm not doing that just because it looks cool. I'm doing that because it is a responsibility for new believers and young kids coming up here of all of us, not just the parents. Yes, they have their responsibilities. You have a part in that. And Ephesians 4 and 1 Corinthians 12 tell us that. This is what a healthy church looks like. Everybody is all in. So our vision, in case you haven't caught on, for 2026, what the Lord's been laying on my heart in a very heavy manner is that every member ministers here. And if you're already ministering, fantastic. Awesome. Thank you. We need your gifts. But every member ministers here. And I'll tell you why this is so much on my radar. There have been times this past year, this is not a shame thing here, this is just laying it out there, that there have been needs within our church that have been put out before the church, and the church has not responded. And as a pastor, you know what my initial first reaction is? Well, I guess I'll go do it. And I can. There's a lot of things I can do. But that doesn't mean that's the right answer. Especially when there are others that could be doing it as well. Sometimes the worst thing some of us in this church are doing, way too many, you're wearing way too many hats and doing too many things in this church. Sometimes the downside of us doing everything and picking up the slack is that things don't suffer enough for people to be motivated to step up. Here's what I mean. If this is an example here. If we are short on children's church Sunday school teachers or whatever we have, a ministry, youth group, on any of that, and we're struggling and we're up here and I'm getting on my knees and I'm begging you, we need teachers. What else? I'll pay you, okay? Take my children. I'm kidding. If I'm having to do this constantly, sometimes ministries may have to die for people to realize that we needed people to step up. And that doesn't make me happy. I don't want ministries to have to go away. That's not the right step forward. But if I'm having to plead, bribe, and all of that, or if we have those people that are like, well, no one else is going to step up, I'm going to have to do another thing. That's not healthy. That's not Ephesians 4 there. All members, ministers, all of us stepping up to help fill voids, all of us stepping up to meet the needs of all of those around us in our family. When I say member here, I want to clarify this. I'm not just talking about the members, the ones that we confirmed and they met with elders and so on. I'm talking about all people that come here regularly and attend. We need you. If you come here on a consistent basis, we need you to step up and to serve, whether that's occasional events, whether that's a consistent ministry, whether that's just being in a grace group and meeting the needs of the people in the grace group that are with you. We need you to step up. We need you to step up. There are people who are sinfully, and I will say at points, my life included, sinfully overworking ourselves because we feel called to make this happen and we're not allowing other people to serve. And so this year must be a year where we begin to shift the narrative, that we begin to see people step up and say, listen, I may not be great at this, but I'm just willing to help. And frankly, for me as a leader and for the elders and the leadership team, if we are doing what we're supposed to do according to Ephesians 4, right there, verse 12, then we are to be equipping you. We're to be giving you opportunities. We're here for training, whether that's one-on-one or a class or a whatever it is. We need to be doing that so that you can't sit there and say, well, I don't know how to do that. No, we've shown you how. We've equipped you. We've given you the chance to do it. Sometimes membership in a church can be a bit like a gym membership used to be. Maybe it still is for you. Back when I was in college, I had a gym membership down at one of the gyms down by Sight and Sound because I was working down there at that time. And I had a friend that was like one of these jacked guys, you know, he has to like walk in sideways through doors because his arms are so big for muscles. And he got me to do a gym, you know, membership with him. I'd be his spotter and he'd help me, you know, grow a muscle somewhere. I'm not sure where, but we got that gym membership. And I won't forget, some of you maybe have had this experience of yourself. I did great the first 2 months. And then 3 months happened, and I wasn't going there. And then four, and next thing I realized, I was like, man, my bank account keeps getting low. Oh, that's right. I'm shelling out $50 a month for a gym membership that I'm not even using. And you have to go through every act of Congress to end the membership, by the way. I had a membership, but I wasn't even using it. I was wasting it. You sometimes, all of us here, may have a gift to offer to serve our church, and it's just like that gym membership. We don't use it. It's a waste. God gave it to you to use, to build up the body, but you don't use it like a gym membership. That's not healthy, and that's not okay. I want to encourage and inspire us to be a church that serves one another. So I just want to lay a few things out here. Why don't people minister to each other in our church or churches in general? This isn't specifically just our church, although some of these may very well apply. Why don't people normally minister to each other in a church? Well, a couple reasons. One, they'll tell me they've never been asked. Well, no one asked me to serve there. Okay, that's very possible. Very possible. Sometimes, you know, maybe we think, well, we don't want to put it right out there in front of everybody because an unqualified person may show up for it or whatever. Maybe we haven't asked. But I will say this, when we have a pressing need with the 875 different forms of communication that we have in our church, from email to smoke signal to text to all the others that we use here because it's sickening how many we have. We got to reduce that this year. It's amazing. We put it out there when we have needs. When there's a ministry opportunity. Some of you may not even think about this. If you grab the bulletin on a Sunday and you do it faithfully, there's a help wanted thing on the inside. There are positions there that have been on there for over a year. And I'm not expecting that all of a sudden Argel is going to step up and be a drummer. Love you. Go, Argel. Go get those lessons. Janelle, I gave him permission. I'm not expecting that we're all going to be able to fit into some of these. But some of these are pretty broad that we put in there. That it just takes a person to step up and say, I'll do it. I'll try it. I may not be great, but I'll try it. And so for us, that's why this has been on our radar. Some people say, I've never been asked. Another thing they'll say is, well, I just assumed somebody else did it, so I didn't even follow up. Somebody needs a meal because they had a baby or they're in the hospital or one of the things that we've had this past year. We put out a meal train or something like that, and nobody responds. And sometimes people's response is, oh, I just figured other people would step up and do it. I wanted to give them an opportunity. Don't be so modest, okay? I'm giving you permission to not be modest. I want you to shame everybody else for how quickly you respond. They'll say that. You know, maybe somebody else is doing it, so I don't need to bother myself. Here's another one. It's retirement, and I don't mean literal retirement. Don't be offended, retirees, okay? What I mean by this is there are some that will be like, you know what? I did that ministry for 10 years. I retired from it, and I just want to be able to sit and not have to do anything. And I get that. There's periods of time where that you need to take a break. I'm good for that. If you're taking a break for 20 years and you serve for 2 years with middle school boys, that might be a little excessive. It might. I don't know. It is middle school boys. But you get the idea that sometimes we don't step up. We retired. We checked out. I've already done my time. Or the last reason some people don't minister is because they're not seeing it as seriously as God does. And that's the one that terrifies me. If this is how we build up the body, then we need you. We need you to step up. I get seasons of tiredness, but God takes this seriously. This is his body. He gave you a gift. He wants leaders to be training you. He takes this extremely serious. So how then can we minister? Well, it's pretty self-explanatory and pretty simple. By meeting material and service needs. When we put something out, we have a Facebook page for people that attend here on a weekly basis. We'll put stuff up there. Hey, such and such is in the hospital. Could someone, you know, whatever. They need to go to the doctor. So, those are material needs, and some of you are fantastic at doing that, and I applaud you. Thank you. We can't always do it as elders or deacons and so on, but this is, again, where the church comes together as a body to minister. It may be that we have a person with a financial need, and this is why we have benevolence. That's another reason that we have that. Or if you just, I don't know, you don't have to go through benevolence. If you just want to help a person out because there is a definite need there, do it. You can also minister through prayer and investment. Now, some people will be like, oh, you know what? I love the ministries of our church. My ministry is just to pray for them, and that's good. It's important. I am not minimizing prayer. But some are saying that when they have the ability to do more, and they aren't. They're just saying, you know, we'll just go ahead and we'll just pray over here and not invest ourselves in it because whatever, I don't feel like doing that. And then lastly, how can we minister is serving in a ministry. Serving in a ministry. Just finding a ministry that we have here to serve in it. And youth, I'm going to tell you this, as I see two young ones, I'm not drawing attention to them in the tech booth, okay? I want youth serving as greeters. I want youth serving on stage. I want youth doing that. Wherever it is, I mean, except for a few things, I don't know why they can't. I don't know why they can't. We should be bringing them up, that they feel attached to a church family, are known, so that when they graduate, they don't say, peace, I'll see ya, I'm out. Like too many people do when they hit their 20s. And the other way is just honoring others first. What is it that other people need? How can I honor these people as more important than myself? It's selflessness. This is how we as a church can minister, all of us, together. If you're in a grace group, how are you serving one another? How are you serving one another? If somebody has a need in that group, you're the first line of defense, offense, whatever it is. You're the first line of ministry because you do life with these people. You know more the details of their life and what is going on than I will, because you're getting weekly, daily time or whatever it is with them. You're doing life with them. And that's why grace groups are so important to the future of our church. We're known and we can be known and we can get to know other people. Some might say this morning, well, what about those people that will take advantage of the body? They just want money. They don't want to lift a finger to do anything. I'm going to say this. There are legitimate cases of that. But if that is your first response every time, then there's something wrong with you. You're a skeptic and a cynic. And you need to ask, where is my love for others? Yes, I get it. It doesn't mean give all your money away. It doesn't mean give all your time away. There are limits that you do have to draw. But if that is your immediate reason why you don't serve, something is broken in us. And we need to figure it out with the Lord's help. I'll just say this real quick. As leaders this upcoming year, we need to be doing some things for you. And that is, we need to challenge you to step up. We're going to stay on your case about it, all of you, whether it's one-on-one or from up front and so on. Challenging you to step up. Needs are there. But we also want to give opportunities to serve. We want to come up with new ministries to serve. We want to find new opportunities that we can be meeting the needs within our church. And then lastly, training. This doesn't always have to just be a classroom. Hey, everybody sit and watch me talk. This can just be one-on-one mentoring. And the leaders know. I've been on their case about this. I've been encouraging us to be thinking about this because the reality is this. When we come to leadership time, the area of leadership in particular, because that's coming up, if when we get to the area of leadership nominations, all we can do is recycle the same names over and over and over and over and over again, and there's no new names for 10 years, we haven't been doing our job. We should be bringing up new leaders within the church. Again, I just see this out of Ephesians 4. Our responsibility is to train and equip for you to do the works of ministry within the body, to keep it strong, to keep it unified, and to work the way that it was intended. Youth, if you have a question, if you can serve in an area, come talk to me or to Tyler. We would love to see if it's possible. And if not, we'll try and figure something out that you can serve with, because that's how determined I am to get you equipped now. And you want to know why? Because nobody did it to me. no one did it to me. Maybe it would have prevented some headaches and decisions in my life when I got into college. Maybe I could have prevented that if a church had invested that in me. So my challenge to you is this, as we close. Will you be a part of this vision? I hope you will. I hope that you feel encouraged. Even if you're serving in somewhere, I got a crazy thing I'll throw out there. If you see a need and the Lord keeps laying it on your heart, a ministry or some opportunity, it's okay to try a new ministry. Try something different. Maybe it sticks and maybe it doesn't. But there's nothing wrong with trying something. I was reading a story this morning that caught my attention. Old NFL player, here we go, football reference. NFL player Lavernius Coles. He earned millions playing for the New York Jets, that awful team. He earned millions, and he could just be sitting in retirement, and he chose at age 49 to become a cop in Jacksonville, Florida. He had a troubled past of his own where he had been in trouble with the law. And now he's an officer, and he said, people have ridiculed me for being 49 and doing this radical change from what I had done all my life, and I got millions I'm sitting on. But I felt like I needed to do something, and it gave me purpose and direction and how I could be used. And for some of us, maybe that's just the encouragement we need. Try something new. It's okay. If it doesn't work out, let me say this. I talk to all the leaders with ministry leaders here and say, when you do volunteers, do a one-year commitment. One-year commitment, not a forever commitment. Some of you remember the days and time when you signed up to be a Sunday school teacher at church that it was until the Lord returned. There is no way out. You had to sign in blood like a gym membership. That is not, I get it. Stuff happens and maybe it's not a good fit. It's okay. Step out. Find another area. But I want you to know we need you. I need you. We need each other. Every member ministers this year. Will you be a part of it? Will you meet needs as they arise? When you hear about them, rather than waiting, will you just do it instinctively? Will you stop waiting to be asked to serve? Will you stop sitting on a sideline, waiting for somebody else to take care of it or assuming that somebody else did it? And hopefully, we see less served needs unmet this upcoming year. That's my heart's desire, is to see a church serving and loving one another this way. It's my hope that we're going to see a remarkable shift, and this is going to lead to unity, and it's going to lead to love, all of those things that we see in Ephesians 4 that are a result of this. Strength. A church that is strong. An unbreakable bond. So, I want to have a word of prayer, and I want you to prayerfully consider this. What is God calling you to do in 2026 to minister to this church? So let's close our eyes. Father, I know some here are faithfully serving one another, meeting needs, taking people for visits and seeing them and dropping encouragement notes, folding bulletins. There's so many things that we have going on here that people know nothing about. And people are serving faithfully. And Lord, maybe this is a year where some that are just doing smaller things need to step into some bigger things. And I ask that you would do that work in their heart and reveal to them and show them what that is, that they can serve this family better, that they can serve this family more and have an even deeper impact on the future of this church. Father, for those that are resistant, that you would do the work that you need to of conviction, that they are leading to division and weakness in the body of Christ, and that you would motivate them to have a heart change, to serve the way you intended, that we would be a strong church because every member is ministering and serving to one another. Lord, help us as leaders to be able to see the bigger picture of how we equip, how we train, mentor people to be able to feel equipped to serve, that they aren't walking in terrified, afraid they're going to mess things up, but that they feel confident in serving one another. So Lord, draw us to be a church that serves, that loves one another and grows in unity and faith and knowledge and maturity. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, that's it for this week. Thank you for joining us. If you would like prayer, you can send your prayer request in to prayer@gfchurch.net, and we will pray for you. If you like this message, don't forget to subscribe on the podcast app, Google, or Spotify. Give us a follow on Facebook and Instagram. We look forward to seeing you next week.